Welcome to MUFON Canada's UFO Primer. I'm Dave Palachuk, National Director of MUFON Canada and Executive Producer of MUFON Canada's podcast. MUFON is the world's largest and oldest civilian UFO investigative and research organization with members in many countries around the world. Our number one goal is to be the inquisitive mind's refuge seeking answers to the most ancient question, are we alone in the universe? Simple answer is no. Do you have UFO reports to share, armchair UFO investigator aspirations, or want to train and join our investigative team? MUFON is here for you. Will you please join us in our quest to discover the truth? What do we know after 50 years of MUFON? 1. UFOs are real. UFOs represent advanced technology not from any country on planet Earth. 2. We are not alone in the universe. We never have been. 3. According to the data we collect, our universe is teeming with life. And 4. The UFO phenomenon is worthy of scientific study because tremendous breakthroughs will result if we allow our scientists and engineers to do so without fear of ridicule. Each episode will feature a guest host along with our very special guests who are willing to disclose their knowledge on ufology. Hope you enjoy the information you hear in this podcast and use it to help decide if you believe. Embrace the future with MUFON Canada. Welcome to MUFON Canada. I'm Dave Palachuk, the National Director of MUFON Canada, and for this episode, the host of the show. In this episode, it gives me great pleasure to introduce a friend, a fellow ufologist, and our Master of Ceremonies at MUFON Canada's annual Alien Cosmic Expo. Welcome, Victor Vigiani.
Great to be with you, David. I was just sort of wondering who you were talking about during that bio, but I recognize my name and my group. Great to be with you, David.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you here, Victor, because we are going to discuss something very important tonight, and that's basically the New York Times. You know, I said I'm honoring that article because it's about time, and you and I are going to have a little discussion about, is it really disclosure? And I know you want to talk about the implications of this. Well, I've done two podcasts already today, so I'm kind of running out of breath. It's been a very busy day for MUFON Canada, and we're getting more and more requests for information. So hopefully the listeners, the viewers, our followers will get a lot of information out of this from you and give them some food for thought. So let's start off with what happened about 2 weeks ago with the New York Times and their latest newspaper article and how that relates to what's been going on with the New York Times.
Well, essentially, you have to go back to December 17th, 2017. That's when this all kind of started. Mm-hmm. And the New York Times released a blockbuster article written by Helen Cooper, Ralph Blumenthal, and Leslie Kane. And at that particular point in time, they made public some fascinating information about the now famous or infamous Tic Tac video and the disclosure, I use that word a small d, but the revelation probably a better word, by the U.S. Navy that they captured some pretty significant video of several kinds of craft. And I think there were three objects kind of captured, one in the air, two in the air, and one kind of over the surface of the water. And the key point with that whole article, it was the, I guess, you know, you take your finger out of the dam and that sort of opened up the whole area to the flood of water that we're seeing right now. It's like almost waves lapping at the shore. And the New York Times is responsible for these waves. They are primarily the ones who've taken up the gauntlet and said that this is a serious matter. And when I say the New York Times, I'm talking about the media in general. And we're grateful to the New York Times for doing this. It's a lot like the Pentagon Papers. Back in the 80s, when the Pentagon Papers came out, it was quite clear that the establishment news media, the New York Times at the time, took the risk, the gamble, that they rolled the dice, and the ownership of the New York Times, the publishers of the New York Times, and the major editors for the New York Times said, let's go for this. And as a result, they published the Pentagon Papers, and everyone knows exactly what happened as a result of that. And that was big news, just as was Watergate. This is a very, very similar situation. This is the beginning of a breakwater benchmark situation where the U.S. Navy has implicitly and explicitly admitted that UFOs, or the UFOs that they saw and they captured, that their pilots captured on video, were real. They were truly anomalous. And one of the pilots, David Fravor, has gone so far as to say, as far as he's concerned, is the pilot. And he's been given permission to do this. They can say anything they want right now, which is a big move forward. That these things that he saw, in his opinion, were not of this earth.
Right.
So after all of that was released, it was sort of like a head whip for just about everybody in the media, and they began to cover it. And since then, over the last 3 years, these things have been coming out. The New York Times, through interviews with Leslie Kane and Ralph Blumenthal, and other articles. They've really kind of began to open up the understanding of what the government knows with the HIP program that everyone knows about, and also the kind of revelations that the Pentagon made to say that they actually verified that these videos were real. Now,
yeah.
I've heard some discussion in some quarters that these things weren't supposed to come out. You know, everybody said, my goodness, why did this happen? But you can bet your bottom dollar that somebody in the Pentagon and the U.S. Navy made a conscious decision to say, this stuff is going to go out. The public needs to know about it. The only problem that I have is the way it's coming out, which is not a problem. It's just, it's almost like a slow drip kind of disclosure. Which I guess when you think, about it, that's how it should happen.
But you call disclosure with a mini D, with the little D, I call it mini disclosure. So they're not trying to scare the masses like they all thought would happen in the 50s.
Right.
And, of course, so the newspaper article you're talking about that happened in 2017 is referring to the USS Nimitz incident of 2014. Mm-hmm. So it was still held for at least 3 years. And is it really true, and I need your opinion, that Tom DeLonge and his group of To the Stars Academy encouraged the New York Times to release this?
I don't know about that one, Dave. I'm not sure that To the Stars Academy was singularly responsible for encouraging the New York Times to do what they did. I think you have to look at what the To the Stars Academy really is, from my perspective. The Pentagon needed, and so did the U.S. Navy, they needed some sort of conduit through which to release this stuff. Now, they did it on their own, but they needed a group to interpret this information, to give it a public face, other than a military perspective.
Right, they're all ex-military people, but they are in the public now.
That's right.
Right.
So what you get is someone like former deputy, assistant deputy of Secretary of Defense, Chris Mellon. You got a guy like Hal Putoff, and to a certain degree, Tom DeLonge, who has no military or political background. But you get people like Putoff and Mellon, who are high flyers within the political realm and within the realm of science. You get these people coming out and saying that what the Navy put out was worth investigating. And then they went a bit further. Chris Mellon is on the public record as saying that these things that they saw, that the U.S. Navy pilots saw, were in fact real. And they displayed technology that we were just not capable of implementing.
So they're clear. They first admitted that they were their videos, and then they came back later and said, yes, they are authenticated. And then they came back a third time and said, yes, they are UFOs. Otherwise, we don't know what they are. So they're, and of course, it's UAP now, unidentified aerial phenomenon. So that's three times that they actually announced that it's all real. And that's in 2017 and 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to jump forward to 2020. And it's almost like, let's do it in COVID. Everybody's paying attention to other things, and we can sneak it in under the radar. But I still think it's more than a little mini disclosure. So let's carry on with what's going on to get to 2 weeks ago Monday, approximately, with the latest thing and how it affects everything. So I think you were the one who told me, or somebody else, but after the Nimitz incident, the tic-tac, go fast, and gimbal videos, they released nine more. they let them out and made them public of 9 more videos, but they almost saw no publicity. So what happened? Did mainstream media say, well, they made the disclosure, we're not going to talk about it anymore?
Well, I think it's a matter of almost a bit of an overload in a way. It's very difficult to release credible-looking things that the general public, I'm not talking about people like you and I who are within this sort of UFO bubble of information. We, you know, you and I live and breathe this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not the only ones. There's that whole UFO, UAP research community out there. There's thousands of people that do this every single day. And they are well-versed not only in the UFO phenomenon or UAP phenomenon, but they're also well-versed in how this stuff has been repressed and kept down and, you know, thrown behind a wall of secrecy. So they're all familiar with that. And as a result of that, this kind of revelation is almost for them a bit of a ho-hum. How many times can you really show, you know, a little blip of light or a little new video and impress the UFO community? They're not impressed by that. They're more impressed by the process as to why the Pentagon or the U.S. military, or the U.S. Navy, whoever's responsible, why they're doing it. It's not the what of what's going on here. It's the why.
It's
why is this stuff being released in the way that it is? And that's the key point that everybody outside of the sort of UAP research community bubble, that's what they need to understand. And it's a good thing that you're doing the kind of things you're doing on this kind of podcast, is to allow the general public to see a little bit of the what. And that's important. They need to see what's going on in terms of lights in the sky. But the story behind it and the why is much, much more devastatingly interesting to the people, to the general public, and to the human family, to the global human family. And the only process that's going to get the human family globally to understand it is the mainstream media. You can put it on the internet, I firmly believe that the internet is a great way to get information out there. But the degree of believability, the degree of confidence that the general public has in the internet about a lot of stuff is very dismissive. So I think it's really contingent upon us to get this stuff out into the mainstream media. And the mainstream media is picking it up slowly.
Mm-hmm, very slowly.
That's okay. Yeah. So you get, you know, CBS, NBC, ABC, and some of the other, more reputable newspapers and media outlets taking this much more seriously. And we need to get our people on the television with their face there and, you know, 14 million people watching it over a week's span and understanding, oh my goodness, how long has this been going on?
Right.
And why don't I know about it? And why is the government, or hasn't the government told me about this? Why now? Those are all good why questions. And how are we going to move forward with educating? As you said earlier during our post-interview, or pre-interview discussion, we have to educate people about the process as to what's happening and why it's happening. And we can go into that in many different ways. The biggest thing that's happened as a result of the why is what the Senate has done. The Senate Committee on Intelligence, the Select Committee on Intelligence, Marco Rubio and Senator Warner have taken a huge step forward in their release of a very important document that the Senate will be passing. And in that document, it's sort of like the 2000 or 20,000 a 21 financial statement about what the intelligence community is going to have to do with the funds that the Senate's going to give them.
Right.
And this act, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but in the act itself, it talks about advanced aerial threats. And there's 7 or 8 paragraphs in this whole information telling the intelligence community that they must gather information on the UAP phenomenon and report, once this legislation is passed, and report to the Senate about their findings of all the gathering of their information on the UAP. They actually use the term UAP, unidentified objects. They go through the whole thing.
Right.
So that Naval Intelligence is now on the hook of being responsible for gathering information. And this has never happened before.
No, and we've been pushing that for years. But I understand they're also not just going to be getting the information from the intelligence agency, but they're going to get the opinions. Is this a threat or not?
Well, so that's the other part of this problem, yeah.
Right, and because we don't want to be, victims of false flags and false wars and false threats from government. So, and I think the senator in the Senate that demanded this and wrote this paper don't want to fall into that also. So, yes, you can tell us what you're doing, you can report and everything, but you have to give us the truth, the evaluation. Is this a national threat?
That's right. Well, what I think is going to happen is that once they, when I say the Senate Intelligence Committee reviews whatever the Navy and the Pentagon and the intelligence community gives them, once they review all the information, the way I heard Rubio discuss this, in a way, he was interviewed by CBS in Miami. I'm not sure if you've seen that interview before, but he was very clear in what he said. He said, look, folks, there's things flying over our military bases, and we don't know what they are. We have no control. That means that the U.S. Air Force, the U.S. Navy, and the U.S. Pentagon military installations all over the United States of America, they have just all but admitted that they have no control over their own airspace.
Right.
Now, you try telling that to the general public. Now, separate that, though. We've got to be careful here. Separate that from a threat. The fact is that these things come and go with impunity. We all know that. They've been doing it for years. You've witnessed it. I've witnessed it.
Oh, yes.
It's been going on. And if we don't have, if they don't have control over their own airspace, if the United States doesn't, that's a very meaningful situation that could be interpreted as a threat. And the United States government will be the first one to jump on the threat bandwagon.
Yeah, and that's what I'm afraid of, too. So.
Yes, but let's put it, me too, and that's exactly how I feel about it.
Yeah, but let's put that into retrospect of the Chilean government. Their military investigate UFOs or UAPs, and everything is public and everything is disclosed to the public, including some of the greatest videos that I've ever seen. And they openly, the general that's in charge of this entire program, openly says, we don't know who they are, what they are, where they come from, what they're here for, but they're no threat. Because they haven't done anything except observe, to our knowledge. Maybe they're taking resources and we don't know it. But they're not, you know, with the flag, they're not up there waving that national threat flag. They're just saying it's real. And they've been saying it for a number of years. So why is it the U.S. has to wave the national threat flag? And that's what I'm afraid is going to happen.
Yeah. Well, it's a good point that you raised. I think if you look at the foreign policy situation and the domestic military situation in the United States right now, and even the political situation, even if you go back years, you have a situation in the United States that they, I don't know if you're familiar with the document, it's a statement by Paul Wolfowitz. It's the statement or principle of the new American century. And in that statement, Paul Wolfowitz, and along with some other writers, enlisted the term, brought about the term of full spectrum dominance. And that was the role of the United States. That happened just after the fall of the Soviet Union in 1991. This document came out in the early part of the 90s. And the United States took on the responsibility on their own, which they're really good at, of saying that we will be the policemen of the globe. We will be the ones that will protect everyone. And where democracy is failing, we will step in and make sure that things are going right. That whole idea of full spectrum dominance comes into play with this too. It appears that if the media gets caught up in the whole idea, well, this is a United States issue. It isn't really. It's not. It's a global issue.
And very global.
And that's what the Chilean government,
France,
Colombia too.
France, all of them. Yeah. It's all over the globe. Yes.
That's right. So that's what we have to keep in perspective. And I think if the whole idea of the threat scenario keeps on, the drumbeat of the threat scenario keeps on banging away, a lot of the public are going to be misled by the fact that this is a global issue. And, it could happen. Well, my goodness, if the United States thinks it's a threat, then get those bombers up in the air and make sure that we don't see these things. And meanwhile, they don't have any idea that these things have been hovering over nuclear installations and shutting their nuclear missiles down by the dozens. since 1965.
Oh,
doesn't know that either.
No. We all suspect they have. You and I have believed that for years. You know, and it's happened in other countries. It's happened at U.S. military bases in other countries. Look at Rendlesham Forest. I mean, in the U.K., a U.S. military site in the U.K. that nobody really knew about, and they got the visit.
Sure.
And now I'm saying that, you know, like, stop thinking this is not for real, because this is as real, and I'm going to quote Paul Hellyer, bless his heart, when he said UFOs are as real as the airplanes over your head.
That's right.
And he said that back in the, when was the National Congress?
2005.
And yeah. Amazing. And yeah, you know what, Paul? You were right. And we've all been right. We've known it, but we just couldn't prove it. So again, we are into the, is it full disclosure yet? So let's jump forward to the newspaper article a couple weeks ago when they, again, the New York Times published an article and verbatim quoted, we have a vehicle not from this earth. Basically, the U.S. just announced that, yes, they have UFOs, which a sidebar is it kind of proves Bob Lazar's right, you know, Bob with his, I worked at Area 51 and nobody would believe him, but everything's been coming true what he said over the years, and it kind of indicates all this, like, yeah, the U.S. says they have UFOs. So a little bit further about that is I've always believed that our technology's been leaped by being helped. Maybe we back-engineered things. So how long have they had these UFOs? Fiber optics. I did my thesis on fiber optics in college and university. We were 100 years ahead of that, of what we should have been doing at the time. So where did we get that from? From the UFOs? Laser and fiber optics? I don't think we would have had it even today if we didn't have help.
Yeah.
So again, the thing is, the New York Times said that the U.S. military has a UFO. They didn't say how many, didn't say where, they didn't say what type, but they actually admitted they have one. To me, that is almost disclosure with a big capital D.
Well, I think you're exactly right. They have sort of an inside track on the technology, and the whatever the technology is, and I think we kind of all know that it has something to do with anti-gravitic technology of some kind, so that these craft, wherever they're from, have some sort of capacity to move at or beyond light speed in an anti-gravitic way. And that technology, I know, is in the possession, or at least the understanding, of physicists within the United States, and possibly in other countries too. But
which
I think
is,
the idea of anti-gravitics is definitely there. And I think the materials with which these craft are made, these exotic metals that are being used, are part of that whole scenario. And that's why I've been on top of this for many, many years. And once I saw that, you know, following UFO sightings, following the political ideas that they're, you know, engulfing that whole thing, this is all going to come down, Dave, to technology.
Yes.
And how we can show, how I think people like you and I, and people that are bringing this information forward, saying, listen, without weaponizing it, that's another story. That goes back to the threat scenario. But
that's another podcast.
That's right, exactly. But the idea behind the elimination of the fossil fuel concept of energy, eliminating that, is going to be a quantum leap in our intellectual evolution. Okay, and once we decide to examine not just the UAP issue, but examine the way this technology can improve the fate of the planet, with respect to whether it be free energy or zero point, whatever that stuff is, whatever it is, that will eliminate fossil fuels, that will be a huge pill for the human family to swallow.
For the human family, it'll kill big business that are petroleum based, you know, like,
well,
make all their trillions. That's a big problem.
You're right. We're going to have to phase this thing in a very wise, incredible way. We're going to have to convince a lot of people that the fossil fuel industry has had its day. It's over. It's not only over because there's new technology coming in that will be, you know, non-deleterious to the planet, but what we've been doing since the Industrial Revolution is poisoning our planet, and we see that every single day. And that's another hill that, aside from the threat scenario, the whole fossil fuel industry is going to have to be re-engineered, retooled, to pick up on and begin understanding that this new form of energy will transfer billions and billions of dollars into industry. They don't know that yet.
No.
But once that concept comes up, people are going to wake up and say, my goodness, let's just put that behind us and move forward with this new kind of energy. And what can we do to make it happen more quickly?
And I don't think, if let's say we have zero point energy and anti-gravitic engines like Bob Lazar said he worked on, they've never disclosed that, and it still might not be for many, many years. Yes, UFOs are real. Yes, we're being visited. No, there's no threat. They're here to help. They don't know how to transition away from fossil fuels.
Yeah.
And
there's
corporations,
no plan.
Yeah, there's no plan. They've been thinking about it for years, I'm pretty sure, because I'm pretty sure big business know what the UF government has. And other, let's just not blame the U.S. I think there might be other captive material and or machines, you know, UFOs around the world. Mm-hmm. Let's just not blame the U.S. Mm-hmm. But it's not just the energy or the propulsion. I mean, even Linda Moulton Howe had a little piece that she was given a material she had analyzed by three or four different universities and not all in the U.S., who kept saying this cannot be made in this Earth. So we know there's other things available too, and I can't imagine this Earth where every country and every person has abilities or available energy to improve their life. That is a giant leap. That to me is 1,000 years from now, but kind of hoping in 100 or less. Well, now that we're getting disclosure, and I think they need to work on that. So why is it the general public is, one, afraid of this, two, don't even give a damn about it. Like I said to you earlier, I've talked to people, so what about the New York Times saying they have a UFO? What do you think about that? And the general consensus I had was, that's nice. It's like, don't upset my little world. I don't care about this stuff. It does not affect me. Well, you know, one day it might. And I'm not saying in a bad way, but
no,
the general public,
yeah.
You said there's only this group of us who are into the knowledge and doing the research and doing what we do, especially MUFON Canada. We are growing a huge database, which has helped people like yourself and everybody else who pulls from that database. You know, that percentage is probably less than 1% of the entire population of the world.
Of course, yeah.
But why the rest of the world not jumping up and down and saying and demanding more?
Well, I think it's a lot like, how can I put it? It's knowing something, you know, intellectually knowing something. You know, you can grapple with the knowing, but okay, I know that UFOs exist. I'm, you know, John Q. Public. I know they exist, or I know about UFOs. But then taking the next step, the next intellectual leap that you have to take in order to understand any big, huge change in society, in the cultural mores of your day, the next step in understanding that is realizing that it, in fact, will change your life. And in a way, and I don't want to bring up the subject to discuss it, but necessarily this whole pandemic that we're involved in, it's the very first time since the last two world wars, where literally every person on the planet with a radio, with a television, with internet access, knows something all at once. We know this all at once. Everybody is involved in knowing what's going on. It's like, it takes yourself back to the JFK assassination. The day in 1962, I believe it was, November 21st, everybody knew what was going on.
Because it was live on TV. Yeah, radio, TV, everything.
That's right.
Yeah.
So the human family was together at that time. And those kinds of incidents that bring the whole human family together in one quick instant or a protracted period of time is a life-changing experience. And the next one that's going to come about, and I can guarantee you the next one that's going to come about, will be the UFO disclosure event. And it will bring the entire human family together in the same kind of instant that the pandemic did, in the same kind of instant that World War II and World War I did. It will be an apocalyptic event that everybody's going to say, like I said earlier, my goodness, How long has this been going on, and why didn't somebody tell me about it? And once that incident happened, now how is it going to happen? Will it be a mass sighting? Will it be the President of the United States at some point in the next 4 to 5 years coming on television on a Friday night just before the weekend and saying, ladies and gentlemen, I have some news for you. And I think you all be better be sitting down for this one, right? And then he goes on. That's the kind of event that's going to make the flip to have people understand over the next 4, 5, 10, 15 years that we as a human family are on the next step or on the threshold of the next step of our evolution, because it will take us into a completely intellectual, spiritual, cultural, anthropological, different modes of reasoning will come into play, and we will look at every single incident through the lens of the off-world civilization perspective. We will look at everything through that lens. And once people get that lens in front of them and look at every aspect of their life through that lens, the technological implications, the social implications, the religious implications, are we alone in the universe? These things aren't a threat anymore, or we're part of a galactic community. All of those small pieces of information bound together will have a cultural and anthropological change that will shape the planet for the rest of eternity. And I'm convinced of that. And it's going to take one incident, and I'm just not sure what that's going to be.
Well, I totally agree with you. You're right. It's going to be, there's a UFO sitting on the Parliament Hill in Ottawa or the White House lawn, and somebody out introducing an ET of some sort. It's mm-hmm. going to mm-hmm. actually, we can tell the people, but until you actually show the people,
right. exactly.
That's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But I'm still surprised that so few people pay attention to it. We do need more mainstream media to start getting on and pushing it. Maybe in 6 months when that law now basically says you will disclose more information,
mm-hmm.
maybe that's the next big jump. And it could be more of we're growing that little D to a big D, and I'm going to call that full disclosure what you just described, when somebody changes the entire thought process of the entire world at once. And boy, it's so easy to do now, as you said, COVID-19 did it, because we can communicate to almost the entire world instantaneously.
And
that's a huge leap, and I still think that was helped because fiber optics is all the basis of the internet, and if we didn't have that today, you and I would still be sending pens and papers and phone calls
or smoke signals.
Like, it's, I can't believe how far we've progressed in all these years. And I'm a computer engineer, so I understand all this stuff.
I think we need to spend just 2 seconds. I'm not sure how much time we have left, Dave, but I think we need to go back to Marco Rubio, the senator, and what he's done and why he's done it. And he seems to be familiar with this thing. He's kind of dug his fingers into some of the into the pies that are surrounding him with all the different issues with respect to the UAP matter. He has done this, I think, for a really good reason. He doesn't want anything to happen right now, but I think he's setting himself up for later on, after the new president takes his position. So there's sometime next year.
I heard you say new president.
I don't even want to get into that.
Don't get into that, please. That's another podcast. Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly.
All right, sorry to interrupt you there, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah, he's saying he's getting on the right side of history.
He is,
because the senators that are going to be seeing this new piece of legislation, who say, Senator Rubio, what's this all about UAP? And they're going to ask the same questions. The third time I said it, these senators are going to say this through the lens of the Intelligence Committee. How long has this been going on, and why haven't we been told about it?
Right,
they're
exactly.
Say it again. Mm-hmm. So he's getting himself positioned so that sometime next year, what he did back, I guess about a month ago or so, is announce this whole piece of legislation. He will wait sometime till 2021 and then release this thing and make it public and make it workable. And that will be the lubrication that will incentivize the media to say, my goodness, this is really important. And I think, to answer your question earlier about why people aren't picking up on it, as soon as you get people, senators, on TV saying, how long has this been going on? Why don't they know about it? I'll say it for the fifth time.
Yeah.
That will energize people to ask the same kinds of questions.
Exactly. That gets them thinking that, well, yeah, how long has it been going on, and why don't I know about
That's
it?
Right.
Yes,
and what are the implications of it?
Yeah.
Yes.
So Wow. So this is fantastic. I was so pleased to see that article come out. I almost think about it's kind of anticlimactic. They finally said, yeah, UFOs are real. Well, let's give it a bit more. I'm looking forward to the next one and the next one and the next one. So we've heard what's happened. We've heard what's happening, what's about to happen. We've done some conjecture on that, some thoughts. But what is it that Victor wants to see happen? Your own personal opinion. What do you want to see happen next?
Well, that's a great question. what I would encourage people to do is to go to my news blog, Zudan Communications.
And we'll put that up in the comments on YouTube because I love reading your blogs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, in the latest one, it explains a lot about what we've been talking about. It puts in context for the average learner. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't know a lot about it. It gets the whole story out there. Now, as far as what I want, what I would like to see is somehow having wise journalists, good journalists like the Leslie Kanes, like the Ralph Blumenthal's and Helen Coopers, and there's a couple here in Toronto, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know Vinay Menon. He's a writer for the Toronto Star.
Yes.
He's written two or three different articles, and he actually summarized the last one about a week ago. So we need to get good journalists like that. Brian Bender for the, I believe he works for Politico. Yes, he writes for Politico. All of these kinds of journalists who are stepping out of the mold of journalists and stepping into the realm of this whole UAP issue, we need more journalists like that. And that's what I want. I want these independent journalists, independent thinkers, anyways, who work for good organizations to come out and to begin to educate the general public through their own articles and eventually editorials in papers like the New York Times editorial, the Toronto Star editorials.
Mm-hmm.
We can't minimize the influence of the Toronto Star. It's got a whole new ownership, and it may go in a totally different direction. And we could be at the forefront of some sort of disclosure here in Canada with respect to the Toronto Star, because they could be breaking the story soon. So those are the kinds of things that I want to see happen. Good journalists, credible journalists, being involved in this whole idea of breaking the news to the general public to bring them around and to stop with the, you said earlier, it's not a ho-hum issue anymore.
No.
So it's got to be something that gets into their blood, into their concerns about, and standing there filling your car up with gas and standing there saying, there's got to be a better way than this.
Yeah.
I think that energy thing that you're talking about on the news, that could make a difference. And questions like that in the human mind generate people's interest in this kind of stuff. And when you're intellectually curious about that, which I hope most of the public could be once this thing really hits, it will change people's minds. So it's a slow process, and I think we've made the greatest leaps in the past 3 years than we've made in the last 50. So, hear. I'm encouraged by it. I'm happy with it, and I think it's going to continue, David.
I'm hoping it is, and I'm going to do the best that I can to continue it. I know Zealand Communications will be right there as one of those reporters. I look forward to hearing more from you on a constant, ongoing basis. MUFON Canada, obviously, with these podcasts, and we will be out in the country soon as we are officially allowed to, doing presentations to small local groups, service groups, mm-hmm. out of libraries, things like that.
Right.
We've got a dozen people already have signed out to do presentations. We've got the material for them to present, some PowerPoint presentations, some handout literature.
Perfect.
We're ready to roll, and of course now I have to update the PowerPoint to add in the latest New York Times article, and it's what it's going to bring to us. So, yeah, we're going to do everything we can too, and hopefully that in Canada, MUFON Canada becomes sort of a central point for information and knowledge on ufology, and bring everybody together like yourself and all the other ufologists in Canada, and the groups that go out and actually search and hunt and try to get more information, and of course all our field investigators who talked to all the witnesses who actually have sightings. And just to let you know, our sightings are up this year, and the amount of actual UFO or unknown cases has almost doubled. So the percentage used to be 3 to 5, we were up into 5 to 8% of actual UFO sightings that we have confirmed. And I noticed the videos are getting better. So what Dave wants, I'll answer the same question I asked you, is no more swamp gas and weather balloons. Tell the bloody truth. And it's there to be told, and it's started. So I'm looking forward to that. And
if there's any way that Z-Land Communications can be a part of what MUFON's doing, and I know that that we have a very close and intimate relationship between the two organizations, and if there's anything that Z-Land Communications can do to help you get the word out, I report the news. I don't collect sighting reports or anything. I report and I try to do a bit of interpretation of the news, so that people want to look at it from a being a former principal and a teacher, I try to look at it from an academic and journalistic point of view, rather than foisting opinions on people. And I try to interpret the information so that it makes it a little bit more palatable for people who are attempting to really struggle with it, an issue that is going to be a life changer no matter how it happens.
Oh, definitely a life changer, yep. So, all right, well, we have a challenge, and I really appreciate you coming on to discuss what's just happened. I'll have you on again in a few months, or 6 months or so, when the next announcement comes out, and we'll discuss that. And we have a lot more guests coming who also have a lot more to add to this. And I told you in our pre-interview there about what's happening, and I can't announce it yet. I keep all the guests kind of quiet and secret because I want people to tune in. But I guarantee every one of these episodes, these podcasts, is going to have something a little, you know, let's say eye-opening or shocking even. Some of the announcements that are coming from some of the guests. So I look forward to continue to doing this. I look forward to continue to talk to you. And, of course, I look forward to having you as our MC in 2021 ACE. Unfortunately, because of COVID-19, we couldn't do it. We are strong and ready to go with the Alien Cosmic Expo in 2021. And I love having you as our MC. And it's going to be better than ever. So I won't tell any more about it right now. It's all under discussion right now. It will be probably September time frame of next year, 2021. And it can't be the same time we're doing the Shag Harbor, because I'm going out to Shag Harbor this year. I was supposed to go this year, but I'll definitely go out next year. So anyways, I got Nova Scotia in my blood from my mother. She was born out there. Great. So thank you very much. You have yourself a great evening and time. I'll keep Z-Land in, I guess anything I find that's newsworthy that comes through our channels, I'll get it out to you because you do a great job getting it out. And I know you send me a lot of stuff. I read your blog, so I look forward to continuing our communications. And let's see if we can turn the public around. And what can I say? Thank you very much. We'll talk to you again on the next one.
It's been a pleasure, Dave, and best of luck to MUFON Canada. It's great work.
Thank you very much.